kings of disaster. Let him in constancy follow the master.
I lie down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security.
Consider today, and we're calling this teaching, He Leads Us in Triumph.
Amen.
He leads us in triumph. And I want to talk a little bit today by what it means to be led in triumph, to be triumphant. What is our understanding of this, we may ask? Well, we find something about this in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, and we'll look at verses 14 through to 17. That is 2 Corinthians chapter 2. And we know that the book of Corinthians is the book that the Apostle Paul sent to Corinth by Titus. And in this second book, it's all about the Apostle defending his ministry. They're criticizing him. They're criticizing the way he ministers, how he is, how he talks, appears foolish, ridiculous, goes through all the things that he does for the sake of the gospel. Who's really listening to this man? He's mad. He's a heretic. Does it all sound familiar? Doesn't change at all, does it? But they are the ways that God moves. That is the wisdom and mind of Almighty God, in which to confound the wise, the arrogant, the intellectuals, those that ridicule the gospel. And we still have it today in abundance. And he comes to these Christians, encouraging them, because there is a remnant there who are going on, and they are going through their trials and tribulations. They are living in an idolatrous city, Hellenistic, proud, prefers intellect, philosophy over the good news of the gospel. All what we still face today. And with that, we can then begin to understand what he's saying here in verse 14 onwards. Now, thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumph in Christ, and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. For we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and amongst those who are perishing. To the one we are the aroma of death leading to death, and to the other the aroma of life leading to life. And who is sufficient for these things? For we are not as so many peddling the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as from God, we speak in the sight of God in Christ. You know, the apostle is really defending here the gospel that we receive and have. And he's using some very profound statements here in his defense of the gospel. And there are times that we have to do exactly the same. When the powers of darkness are opposing it in every way, we are defenders of this book that we confess, we believe, we stand upon. And there are times that we are going to be challenged in this with regard to what we believe, what we confess, and what we stand upon. And this is why we're calling this today, He Leads Us in Triumph. You see, we are seeing today that you have to be in Christ and in his nature. If there is anything in the shaking now that has started, that Hebrews tells us, it's sorting out those who truly have his nature, who stand in him, and those who are still standing and depending on the arm of the flesh. And this is why God challenges us in the way that he does. He challenges us to believe him and take him as he is and what his word declares. And he's challenging us, isn't he, on the basis where we do not argue or question these things. He's bringing us right to his character, to his heart, to his faithfulness that we spoke about, didn't we, on Tuesday. He's getting us to depend utterly on him, the way he leads and he guides us, not to question or to answer back, but to know that he never, ever makes a mistake. If there's anything that God has been emphasizing, and I've been laboring over certainly the last, 8 years, it's precisely on that. There doesn't go a meeting or a teaching where I bring up every time that God does not make a mistake. He is faithful. And there is a reason why he keeps stressing that, and he keeps bringing us back to that in our trials and tests, because he's revealing to us that we are triumph. He's leading us triumphant in the midst of disaster. Because your circumstances look disaster. They all do. Our whole walk looks a disaster. It looks a failure to the eyes of the world. And this is what he's raising here. This is what they're battling with. They're living amongst these intellects. They're living amongst these philosophers. All opposing God, the hand of God, and everything. And we are living in exactly the same times. Only worse. Because we now are contending with technology, AI, that wants to be God. That wants to triumph over man. That is the difference. But other than that, it's the same. And so when we come to this, he says in verse 14, "Now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph." Doesn't say he might, or he could, or how he feels that day. I mean, thank God that he doesn't go through the feelings that change like ours do. He's above all of that. No, he has said he leads us in triumph in Christ, always in Christ, and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. I love that wording. Infuses the fragrance of God. So we'll look at this. So He leads us triumphant. Now, what are we looking at here? Well, triumphant means something that you celebrate. You're a conqueror. You're more than victorious. And these can times when we can celebrate, particularly when we've come through something, or we give a testimony of God's faithfulness, that he brought me through this trial. What are we sharing at that point? Something that's triumphant, that's glad to the ears. We are celebrating the fact that God is true to his word, you see? And the Apostle Paul is taking this idea from Roman generals. Because, of course, remember, they were under the time of the Roman Empire. So he's getting this idea of these Roman generals who would return from their great conquests. And, you know, they're coming into the towns or the cities They're marching through, you know, they're all celebrating and all the crowds are out there. The conquest, the victories that they've won, you know, you've seen it in films and so on. Well, this is where he's getting the ideas from. We get a glimpse of that, don't we, when the Olympics is on. And we have those who've won a gold medal and they come back, don't they, to this country. And very often you see if they're in their local town or city, they'll celebrate, won't they? And they often come in on an open air double decker, don't they? And they're waving and all the crowds are there. And that's the idea of what we're talking about. He leads us in triumph. And this is why our sharing testimonies are important, because they confirm all of this, what the Word of God is saying here. And so this is what it means. Now, thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ, and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. So he uses this word fragrance, and he uses this in triumph, in parades and everything. So again, the idea of this, when the Romans and the generals came in with a great prowess, they're conquering, also amongst the parade, they threw out petals, fragrance. This is the idea of the celebration. And again, this is where the apostle gets this idea. And so we can take from that, as it says in verse 16, to the one we are the aroma of death leading to death, and to the other the aroma of life leading to life. And who is sufficient for these things? So this fragrance, the fragrance of the Lord, it's the way that we treat people. It's the way we come over. It's the way we love one another in the fellowship and so on. And this is the idea of what he's saying, this sweet fragrance that we minister one to another, helping one another, and so on. And this is what he's saying here. And of course, he uses this idea of these great parades where they're coming in and adding, throwing petals out, or probably rose petals and various things like that. They're fragrant, you see? And we like fragrance as well. We like when we've washed or showered or whatever it is. We like to feel when we come out of it, a fragrance, clean. It's that feeling of being clean, cleansed. And of course, this is what I'm always saying, is what the Word of God does for us. And if we have truly met with the Lord and the anointing's been present and ministering, there's a feeling we have been cleansed by our gathering, by the Word of God, which is exactly what it should do. Because faith comes by hearing that word. And so we could say this is the aroma of fellowship today. This is sweet. This is acceptable in the eyes of God, you see. And it's wonderful when we get these figurative ideas of what, and the apostle was a master at this sort of thing. You know, he could take all of these things. You can almost see this man, how he observed and how he watched and he looked at these things, and God giving him the revelation, the deeper meaning of the things of the world. These are what pagans are doing. These are people who don't know Christ. And yet we can take glean from that and turn it spiritually and get like the fragrance, the aroma of fellowship coming together. But he also says, because he uses this, What does he say in verse 16? To the one we are the aroma of death, leading to death, and to the other the aroma of life, leading to life. So he's understanding how he's getting these revelations. He's getting from a lot what he's looking at, that's leading to death. And yet that aroma is there. The sweetness of Christ is there. The message of salvation is to them as well. It's not just to us who have life, but it's to them out there that they too can have life. And he's saying that this is like aroma. And to some, this aroma is unto death, and this aroma is also unto life. And I'm reminded what it says in Romans 8:28, that all things work together for good to them that love God and to those who are called according to his purpose. This is what he's saying here. So it's aroma of life leading to life and an aroma leading to death. And sufficient for these things. So your life, my life, is a type of aroma, a sweetness, reflecting the life of Christ. And to some, we reflect life, and to others, we reflect death for them. Have you ever thought about that? I'm aware of that when I preach this word. I'm aware of that when I'm online. And now, as you know, the word goes out on Instagram. I am aware of what God is channeling through me. To some, it is life, and to others, it is death. And it's a huge responsibility, as well as all of us. And that is why it's important how we come over, how we treat one another, what comes out of our mouth, and so forth. Because we are that, you see. And that is why we're so dependent upon that life that is in us. His life channeling through me. He's the life. He's the aroma. As I allow him to channel his life through me. And that's not struggling, that's not trying, that's not striving, it's simply yielding over. And that's why so often we miss it, because it's so simple. It's just yielding. And then you think, what was all the fuss about? What was it all for? All the energy that was wasted, that's made me tired and miserable and depressed. When just yielding over and allow that life that has been given to me as a gift to reach out through me. That is what our walk is about, brothers and sisters. Not by might, not by power, by my spirit, says the Lord. But also we have to remember, with a fragrance, there are also unpleasant fragrances, and they are the fragrances unto death, and that should never come from a Christian. And so there are the differences. So to some, this teaching, this message is joy to the ears, and to others, it's a burden, it's a frustration, it interferes with my life, my planning, and what I want to do, you see. And so there we are. And that's why we're here today, by the grace and mercy of God. Hallelujah. Well, it goes on, doesn't it, in verse 17. For we are not as so many peddling the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as from God we speak in the sight of God in Christ. And there the Apostle Paul, in many ways, is defending his ministry. Now, what do we understand the word pedaling? Well, it's not getting on your bike and going off for a ride. It doesn't mean that at all. It means don't water down the word of God. Don't adulterate it. Don't alter it, change it. This is what he means by peddling the word of God. And unfortunately, we know that many do it. In other words, don't change it, don't adulterate it because of a profitable gain. Do you know that there are many ministers who minister because they're standing behind the pulpit? I need to be careful what I say, because if I say things that are not, they don't want to hear, that is going to affect the collection for this week. You may sound shocked by that, but that is a big problem amongst ministry. And I know I've said this before, but I say it in passing again. I've had people in the past who said to me, look, we can get you, we can open doors for you. You can earn a lot of money through what you have. A lot of you don't know that. You don't know the things sometimes I have been tempted with. And yes, it comes at a time when money is difficult. There's bills to pay. It always comes at that time. You know, it doesn't come when you're, you know, it's not a problem. It comes at your weakness. And I thank God in his mercy and grace that I was able to make that right choice, and that I know there were saints praying behind this ministry, you see? And this is what the apostle is defending. He's saying he could have a prosperous life. He could be a great theologian and lecturer in colleges of those days, but he chose not to. And he's able, with that experience and where he took that stand not to do this, he's able to speak like he does here. So this is the understanding of peddling. It's adulterating, it's watering down the gospel for profitable means. And the Apostle Paul was not like others who watered down the gospel. Far from it. He preached it as it was, and it cost him. And the persecutions and the trials that he went through. And it will at times with us cost us. But God is faithful, and he knows how much we can take in our trials. And he goes on, but as from God, we speak in the sight of God in Christ. So he says, but as of sincerity, but as from God, we speak in the sight of God in Christ. So as of sincerity, the Greek understanding of this word, transparency, it means to be transparent. It means to have no hidden motives. Completely open, transparent. What you see today, what you hear today, is what I'm like in secret when I'm at home. Because we can all be different when we're at home, you see. We're on our best behaviour today, you see. And this is what he's trying to say. That you are what we see today, you are at home. That is how you are. Or that is what you want in your life. That is what you're believing for and praying for. And this is what the apostle brings out here. So he says, for we are not as so many peddling the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as from God, we speak in the sight of God in Christ. He finishes it off, what he's saying here, this is done in Christ. Everything is done in Christ. It will never happen. It will never work. It reminds me of whatever it says in the word, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of Jesus Christ. And that is what we do, because that is where the blessing is. That is where you allow God in your weakness to take over. In other words, I do this unto you. I do this in Jesus' name. I commit this day before you in Jesus' name. This is why we pray for the meeting. We pray for the word. We do it in Jesus' name, because then we are inviting him in his presence to bless, to do what he wants to do. As I say so often, as I bring this to a close, all of this never happens and will never happen unless we get in prayer. We get in prayer for the meeting. You get in prayer for this word, because this is your manna. This is your food. I'm just the vessel. It's not about me. It's about you being fed. This is about you making it into the kingdom of God. It's about you being first fruits, which are soon to be presented on the altar, which is going to show the harvest that is coming. You see, God's given us the revelation of this, because we know not all are going to go up in the rapture. That is the tragedy of this, because you do not want to be left behind when Antichrist rises up and makes war against Christ's body. No way. And so it's very important that our prayers, our intercessions, are for this assembly, this body, these meetings, where God will meet with us, you see. Because if God doesn't meet with us, what is the point of meeting? You can do this anywhere. You can join a club. You can join whatever hobby you have. You can join up with other people. And yes, you can have a blessed time. You've got a lot in common and you can share. But the point is that we pray something different about our meetings. It's God Almighty in our presence. As he says, where two or three gather together, there am I in the midst. Praise his name. So there we are. He leads us in triumph. Amen. And think on that. Whatever your life looks like, whatever you're going through. And the Apostle Paul, he really can identify with this. I mean, this man went through a huge amount of testing and trial. He was ridiculed. He was laughed at. He was rejected. He was outcast. There were a lot that saw him as scum, an embarrassment, you know? And he's able to speak from absolute experience and confidence. And you can pick up the revelation that God was giving this man. I've just touched on it today. I've described to you how he's used these things as he watches them in everyday life, and how God's turning that spiritually, and he's seeing these things being worked in his own life and our life. How does God work rejection in us from those we love, or maybe our family, or whatever it would be? How does he work that in us? I don't know, but he does. Because he's a miracle-working God. Hallelujah. So, the Lord is on the throne, and he knows what he's doing. Hallelujah. Praise God.
Against all disaster, let him in constancy follow the master.
All lies down before you and cradled in the light.